Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and, of course, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Wake Up, Dead Man, Megadoc, and The Voice of Hind Rajab.
I'd like to start out today by talking about the latest in the Knives Out series. It's a franchise. This is only the third movie in this series, but I suppose they're going to keep on coming because they appear to be very popular. The first one was called Knives Out. The second one was called Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery. And now we have Wake Up, Dead Man, A Knives Out Mystery. Now, I have to say, these movies are basically whodunits. The whole thing is about who committed the crime. That's the basic thrust, anyway. And I'm not a big admirer of whodunits. I usually don't enjoy sort of having to sit there and try to figure things out as I'm watching. I like to just be in the hands of the movie and let the movie take me where it wants to take me and do things more interesting than set up a mystery as to who killed somebody or who did some other terrible thing. That said, whodunits have been very, very popular for a very long time, and people like Agatha Christie and John Dixon Carr and many others have done plenty of whodunits over the years. I'm speaking of novelists there, and they and some other novelists are definitely given shout-outs in Wake Up, Dead Man, because this is a movie that's very interested in the whole tradition of whodunits and mystery stories and things like that. So it's kind of interesting in that respect. In fact, it's particularly interested in the idea of the locked door mystery. What's going to happen? How was a murder committed, or how was some crime committed in a locked room that's locked from the inside? Nobody could possibly have gotten in it and gotten out of it. Things like that. It's a popular brand of mystery story. So Wake Up, Dead Man not only is that kind of story, at least for part of the time, but it references other famous examples of that breed. So, an interesting thing about the new Knives Out mystery, Wake Up, Dead Man, is that it has a very sort of churchy sort of a twist. It takes place almost entirely in and around and nearby a church, a Roman Catholic church. And we have various personalities in this church. We have a brand new young priest who has just been assigned to be a new priest in this parish. He has a checkered history. He was a boxer before he became a priest, and he actually killed somebody when he was in one of his boxing matches. So he has a very bad conscience because of that, and that's probably one of the reasons why he got involved in the priesthood. So he is assigned to this very tiny little parish in upstate New York. He's only one of just two priests there. And it is a very tiny little parish with just a very small number of parishioners, partly because, first it's out sort of in the middle of nowhere, but because the head priest there, the Monsignory, is just despised by everyone, and for good reason. He's a nasty guy. He's a very sort of a vicious guy. He's an overbearing guy. Nobody likes him. So here we have this new young priest assigned to this parish, which is run by this very abrasive older priest. And the big question at the beginning of the movie is, how is he going to thrive in this kind of a situation? Now, once he's there, of course, he meets plenty of other people. He meets various parishioners. There is, for example, the local doctor, who is played by Jeremy Renner. There is a lawyer, played by Kerry Washington. There is a person who was a really, really best-selling science fiction writer who is now writing weird stuff and no longer selling many books, played by Andrew Scott. I haven't mentioned yet that Josh O'Connor plays the young priest, and he is just terrific. So, into all of this comes Daniel Craig, who is the star of all three of the Knives Out mysteries so far, at least. And he plays Benoit Blanc, a private detective who is absolutely brilliant at solving crimes. Now, the crime in this case is that older, abrasive, disliked Monsignor, the priest, has been killed, has been murdered, apparently, in a little room in the church where nobody could have gotten in or out that anybody can tell. So a lot of the running time of the movie is figuring out how the crime was committed in the first place, and then, of course, who might have committed the crime. And we have all kinds of backstories and all kinds of things like this. The church itself has a very checkered history, because there was a couple of generations back, there were some really nefarious goings-on that had to do with a lot of money, and a lot of money disappeared and that sort of thing. So this movie is about 2.5 hours long. It's way too long. And one of the reasons why it is that long is because it has all these characters, some of whom are pretty interesting, and also because it has this backstory stuff about the disappeared money and about various conflicts that have taken place in the history of the church. And then, of course, we have the murder of the Monsignor, and the question arises after a while as to whether he really was murdered at all, and all kinds of stuff going on like that. So I say again that I'm not crazy about whodunits. I will say, though, that I enjoyed Wake Up Dead Man the most of the three Knives Out mysteries so far. I rather like the religious angle of it because it's unusual. I like some of the characters, and there's some terrific acting in this. Josh O'Connor is a wonderful actor. Jeremy Renner is a good actor. Daniel Craig is a terrific actor. So, yeah, lots of good actors in this movie, even though it does go on a bit long for my taste. So I am sure that Wake Up Dead Man, which is already streaming on Netflix, is going to find a very large and enthusiastic audience. People who enjoyed the earlier Knives Out mysteries will certainly enjoy this one, I think. And even I rather enjoy it, although I'm not a great big admirer of this particular genre of movie making. So Wake Up Dead Man, okay, I woke up, I watched it, I had a pretty good time. Now I would like to turn to a documentary, Megadoc. A few years ago, the great filmmaker Francis Ford Coppola released his dream project, which he had been working on both actively and not so actively for something like 30 years, a huge, flashy, gigantic budget science fiction movie, which he financed out of his own pocket. Of course, he's got big pockets, so he can afford to do that. And it was called Megalopolis. And he hired another very good filmmaker, Mike Figgis, to do a sort of a making-of documentary while he was filming Megalopolis. Mike Figgis has made some really good movies over the years, like Time Code and Leaving Las Vegas. And now he has turned his hand to this documentary all about the making of Megalopolis. Coppola gave Mike Figgis pretty good carte blanche to talk to various members of the cast, to hang around the set, to film all the different stuff that was going on. Now, Megalopolis itself, which came out not that long ago, is, in my opinion, a real mess. It's hugely ambitious. It has all kinds of political agendas. It has all kinds of entertainment agendas. It has all sorts of futuristic science fiction agendas. It's a really, really, really ambitious movie and a very big deal. And again, it cost a fortune and Coppola paid for it all. It did not do well at the box office. Too bad for poor Francis. So, okay. I feel sorry for him in that, but hey, he knew he was taking a risk here. He knew he was making an unusual film, an unconventional film, a very offbeat film, and maybe his big mistake was putting a huge amount of money into it. Again, I feel that Megalopolis is sort of a mess, and it's interesting watching Megadoc to watch this mess sort of take shape. Now, I do have to say that Megalopolis has a terrific cast. Adam Driver is in it, Giancarlo Esposito is in it, Lawrence Fishburne, Shia LaBeouf, really, really, really good, interesting people like that. A good, good, good cast. And most of them show up pretty prominently in the new documentary, Megadoc. So it's fun seeing them talk about the movie, talk about themselves, talk about the movie business, and all of that kind of thing. It's interesting. It's pretty good stuff. I had a good time, again, watching Megadoc. I did not much like Megalopolis. I was fascinated by it because it is such a mess and it's such a gigantically ambitious project that just Francis Ford Coppola, fine filmmaker that he is, just wasn't able to pull off. And here it's really interesting watching this documentary about some of the things that went wrong along the way and also some of the things that went right along the way. This documentary is not any kind of an attempt to blow the whistle or something. It has good things to say as well as things to expose that are not so good about Megalopolis. Also, here and there in the movie, Mike Figgis talks about his own documentary, and he talks about the challenges in filming the documentary. For example, the fact that Adam Driver was made uncomfortable when Figgis was there with his camera. Adam Driver apparently was very comfortable with Coppola's camera on him. That's what he's there for. He's there to star in this movie. But he wasn't so happy when there was a second camera being wielded by a totally different filmmaker there also. So anyway, Mike Figgis had to work out some arrangements with Adam Driver. That kind of thing shows up here and there in it. And it's kind of interesting to watch that, and it's kind of fun to watch those sorts of negotiations happen. And it's interesting to see the way some of these people seem to come off. I personally found Aubrey Plaza very grating. My gosh, she doesn't come off as a very appealing person in this documentary, in my opinion. Maybe that's the way she chose to present herself, but I just didn't really think that she really came off in a very flattering way for her own sake. Shia LaBeouf is very, very candid about his own shortcomings as a person in the past, and speaks, I think, very interestingly. So it's very interesting watching him. This is also when I learned that his first name is pronounced Shia. I always thought it was Shia. And there are other people in it, too, who are interesting. Giancarlo Esposito was very articulate. Dustin Hoffman shows up and talks a little bit. John Voight shows up a little bit here and there. So a lot of really, really major celebrities and interesting actors are in this documentary, and it certainly casts a light on Megalopolis. In some ways, it certainly is tighter and in some ways more interesting than Megalopolis itself, which, again, I'm going to say it for a third time, I think is a mess. But Megadeth is not a mess. It's a movie that carries its agenda out in a very smooth and ingratiating way, and it's a good, good documentary about the making of the movie. It's not an ordinary promotional making of documentary. It's a really serious work of movie making in its own right, and it's well worth seeing. Megadoc, good movie. And finally, I've talked about a fiction film and a documentary film. I want to talk about a movie which is some of both. It's a new movie by Karutha Benhania. Has a long list of countries that participated in the financing of it, but it's basically a Tunisian movie from the Middle East, and it's called The Voice of Hind Rajab. And I say it's part documentary and part fiction. It's mostly documentary and docudrama, actually, not much real fiction in it. And here's what it is. There was a little girl, a six-year-old girl, during the horrible Israeli-Palestinian war just recently, who was trapped in a car, and all of her family members were killed, but she was okay. But she's only six, and she's trapped in this car, and there are bombs going off, and there's gunfire going off, and there are tanks right nearby firing and all of this, and this terrified little girl is in this car. Now, this is all real, and a lot of the soundtrack of The Voice of Hind Rajab is actual phone conversations with this little girl as the people in this Red Crescent Emergency Center are trying to figure a way that they can extract her from her horrible situation, go save her, get her out of that situation. And the big suspense of the movie is, will they be able to do that or not? So that's what we have. On the soundtrack, we have a lot of bits of the actual voice of Hind Rajab, the little girl who was actually in that car with that horrible battle and combat going on all around her. She's only 6 years old. So that's one of the big things. Then the rest of it is sort of docudrama. We have the people in the Red Crescent Rescue Center trying to figure out what to do about this, and they are acted by actors. Presumably what they're saying and doing is very close to what actually happened when this actually thing transpired very recently. But this is docudrama. These are actors playing parts. So The Voice of Hind Rajab is very new, and it has been getting a whole lot of very enthusiastic commentary from a lot of the press, and that's deserved. I had one big reservation about it, and that is that the people in the Red Crescent Emergency Center are rightly very, very frustrated by how long it's taking to somehow arrange to save this girl. You can't just send some authorities, ambulances, police vehicles, that kind of thing, to go fetch her out, because they'll get killed. There's a war going on. You have to coordinate this whole thing with the Israeli army. And, of course, this is the Israeli army that has put this little girl into all this horrible danger right at this exact moment. So there's a lot of frustration, a lot of waiting, a lot of people hugely upset with the waiting they have to do, and a lot of people saying, why can't we just go get her? And it has to be explained over and over and over again. If we did that, then the rescuers would also be killed, and we wouldn't end up saving her at all. So that's really what's going on through most of this movie. Now, a big reservation is that the people in the Red Crescent Emergency Call Center strike me as not being very well trained. they're really, really letting their emotions take over a lot of the time. And I would assume that people in that sort of position have to be like surgeons or like air traffic controllers. When there are life and death stakes and there is something really, really dangerous going on, you have to remain calm. And most of these people are incapable of remaining calm. And I really question whether it was really like that in the actual case. Yes, they have every reason to be frustrated. They have every reason to be upset. But my goodness, a lot of times they seem to be working against their own interests and the interests of a little girl, Hindra Jobb, by their emotionalism. That said, it's a very, very compelling movie, and I think it's going to be one of the most talked about movies of this year. We're near the end of the year. This is one of the better movies I've seen all year, and it's well worth seeing by anybody at all concerned with the horrible things that have been going on in the Middle East in recent years. The voice of Hindra Jobb, a voice we really have to listen to. So that is my part documentary, part fiction story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterik, Films in Focus, the films Wake Up, Dead Man, Megadoc, and The Voice of Hindra Jobb.
Films in Focus with David Sterik is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.